Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much today for your living word that speaks to us each time it's read. And I pray that you'd anoint James today as he leads us and guides us through your word, and just let it touch each heart here. Let us be a light to you in this world around us, Lord, that needs it so much. We thank you and pray that someone would come to know you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. Neglect not the gift. You have something, if you are a believer in Christ, that is in you. It was not in you before you came to Christ. But when you came to Christ, He put something in you. The Bible says to each of us are given grace according, listen to these words, according to the gift of Christ. In other words, when we got saved, every one of us was given a ability to do things in the kingdom realm, in the spiritual realm of God. You all have been given an ability as a result of the genetic package that your mom and your dad gave you. How many of you have said to your husband, you're just like your dad? And how many of you have said, you're just like your mother? Because in these ways we are. We have been given this. Sometimes I even feel like my dad. And because he is in me, in a genetic way, what he had was given to me physically. But when I got saved, there was a spiritual DNA transfer of Jesus into me. And I received the gift of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's in us and enables us to do things that we could not do in our natural realm. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is a spiritual thing that God has given you. This is what Paul is talking about. Neglect not the gift that is in you. What God has put in you in that respect is God's gift to you. And how you use it and how you think about it and what you do with it is your gift back to God. And God wants you to give back to Him. He doesn't want you to do that just because He's a selfish, stingy God. He wants you to do it because He is the most generous God and the most giving of all. And He is, if you know that you have been touched of God when you are willing to give of yourself to others, that's how you know that God is really working in your life, when you have been set free to give yourself to other people. A lot of husbands cannot give themselves to their wives. A lot of wives cannot really just give themselves to their husbands because they are not learning to let the gift of God really work in their life the way that God really wants to do it. And so this passage here, what I'm wanting to nail down, and we've been studying about spiritual gifts, and Carolyn said we were going to continue to do that. I said, I think I'm going to wrap up this study on spiritual gifts this morning and finish the series. And she said, no, you're not. Well, she didn't say it quite like that. She said, I don't think you're finished with that yet, are you? And I thought, I don't think I am, you know. See, our wives help us a lot, don't they, Brother Paul? You walk straighter because of Letha, don't you? Okay, amen. Amen. And Tom Davis, it's all Linda can do to keep him on track. I know that. And so everybody's trying to keep somebody on track. Did you know that? And Paul was trying to keep Timothy on track. He was trying to say, he knew that this Timothy was a little timid, like his name suggests. And I know that because of what Paul says to him in the first book that he wrote to him and the second book. In the second book, he said, in this book, the first Timothy, he said, neglect not the gift of God that's in you. Why would he be saying that, Brother Lynn? Right, and he was seeing that happen. No doubt that Paul noticed that Timothy was just not really using the gifts that God had given him the way he should. And so he says, neglect not the gift that's in you. And then in the second book, if you look at the second book he wrote to him, on the first page of it, he says, stir up the gift of God that's in you. It's a little more stronger there. Because he said, I told you not to neglect it. Now I'm telling you, stir it up. Let God use you. And I'm telling you, as your pastor asked you, would you stir your gift up and let God use you? Would you start reaching down inside of you more, loving more, giving more to others in your life, doing more for others around you, and let this gift of God that's in you really flow out of you, because you can just hold it all in. And people are denied what you could have done and would have done if you'd have let God's gift just flow through you. So he tells Timothy some things. And the first thing he says in this book that Brother Rick read to us was this. He said, let no man, how did you put that, look down on you because you're young. So all you young people under 12 years old, raise your hand just a minute. I want you to look at your parents and say, don't look down on me. Go ahead. Just because I'm young. Okay, that was good. See, you got it. Now, none of you parents, don't you be mad at your kids for talking to you that way, because this is what God has said to do. Don't let no man despise you because you're young, but you be an example. Here's the first thing that I want to teach us about letting the gifts of God work in our life. We have to become cognizant and aware that we are examples. We're examples, whether we're good ones or whether we're bad ones. Every time we go out to work, we bring an example to work with us. And every time we come to church, we bring an example. We have a life story that's being written by God through what we say and what we do, and it's our example. Listen to this about how important it is. The greatest teacher is not experience, it's the hardest teacher. How many of you have had to learn a lot by just experience? And you could have learned it, though, by following a good example of someone else that you see. It's the most powerful tool of teaching is your example, what you model to others. It's also the best way to learn is to learn by example. Oh, listen, we've got some great examples here in the church of men and women that I so dearly love, and I have learned so much just from the examples of my brothers and sisters and older men and women and that used to be in my life, and now there's hardly an older man than me in my life. And I realize more how much of an example I ought to be because they're not there anymore. We don't have the Bob Goods in my life anymore, the Franks, Brother Franks, Carolyn, and his dear wife, Florine. We don't have them as examples in our lives anymore. He says, you be an example to others. It's so important. People learn from that just by watching you and being with you. And you learn by just watching others and being with them. And so he says, now look, I want you to use your gift, and you've got to be aware you are an example. Now, how do you, if you know that you are an example married to others, what does that make you do? Doesn't it really? Have you ever been around a younger person and you became aware, wait, I don't need to say that, I don't need to do that, because we got a young person here watching us. I was playing with the grandkids. We had kept them for a day or two, and we tried to let them have a good time. And so I think it was Sam that said, would you go outside and play basketball with me? And I'd just gotten cleaned up to do something. And so I really didn't want to do it right then. But I said, okay. And so I said, let me change my shirt. So I went in, I was changing my shirt, and he came in and flopped down on the bed, put his hands up on his head, was looking up at me, and he said, why are you so good to us? And I looked down, I said, it really blessed me, and I just said, well, I love you guys. He said, Poppy, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. He said, except not fat. And so, I was a good example in some things and a bad example in other things. And it just made me want to lose weight. But listen, in 3 John, John's writing to the church in the little book of 3 John. And he writes there to Gaius, his dearly beloved in the Lord. And he says, there's a problem in the church. And it's a problem with one guy named Diotrephes. And he says about this guy, he says, I wrote a letter to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receiveth me not. And not only does it he don't receive me, he doesn't receive others. And he cast them out of the church. And he said, do not follow that which is evil. And he said, now, Demetrius has a good report of all. He's a good guy. He's got a good example. He said, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. You see, our examples, what we're saying at work, doing at work, what we're doing in our lifetime, others are reading and they're learning from us, or else they're being hurt by us. And so he says, I want you to have a good example and be aware. A lot of us live our life not being self-aware. What do I mean by that? It means we do things we don't even know what we're doing. We say things, and we don't even know what's coming out of our mouths. How it can be hurtful, how it can be sarcastic, how it can be biting and cutting, because we are not self-aware individuals. We've got to have a good example, and to use your life as an example, you've got to become self-aware of what you're saying, what you're thinking, and what you're doing, and then you've got to correct your act. You got to change some of that stuff. Here are the things that Paul told Timothy that he wanted him to really work on in his example. In your words, he says. You know, people, you know, I've tried to be a forgiving person, but I can still remember some of the negative words that were spoken to me 40 years ago. Can you? I can. I mean, and I'm not holding those against the person who spoke them. I wish I could forget them, but, you know, you don't forget anything that's in your mind. Did you know that? Everything in your mind can be recalled that's ever happened to you, that's ever been said to you. And it's amazing how the devil will bring up those negative things that have been said to you. And so if you are using a good example and you're watching what you say, it's going to help you so much in your relationships, you can't believe it. So you want to say encouraging words to people. And you want to use words that are not smart and sarcastic and critical and condemning. He says, you don't let anybody despise you or look down on you because of what you said in the words that you've spoken. And then he says, in your behavior, the way you act. And, you know, I was thinking about people who have really molded my life, and I remember meeting a real important man that I had to meet with on my job, and when I came into his office, he would be sitting up there looking kind of austere like a judge, and he'd look up from his glasses like this, come in and sit down, please. So I'd come in, and I would sit down, and we'd go over my job and stuff, you know, and so he was a nice guy, but that was the way he behaved professionally. I went to work at another place, and this was Dr. Jack Nicholas at Southern Baptist College. And the first time I met him, I was talking to his secretary, and I said, I'm supposed to meet Dr. Nicholas here. I'm James Strait. And she said, okay, just a minute, Mr. Strait. And she said, knocked on the door, and she said, Dr. Nicholas, James Strait is here to meet you. And here's what he did. He was sitting down like this, and he was writing in his desk. And when I came in, he stood up, and he walked around like this, and this is James Strait, this is Dr. Nicholas, and he went, I'm delighted to meet you. And then he sat down beside me, and that changed my life, that behavior there. I've tried to emulate that, tried to, just that one moment of behavior that was so different than what I had known from this other boss, so. Thank you so much, my dear. See, I can't help but do it now. So, you know, the way we behave. Do you think God is in the way that some people behave? Let me ask you this. Do you think the devil is in some people in the way they behave? Absolutely, don't you? Follow that which is good, not that which is evil. See, so in your behavior, the way you act, the way you behave, you can have God motivated in you or you can have Satan. And then he said, in love. You know, there's something about love. You can act like you love people or you can really love people. And so we are examples in the way we love, the way we're sincere in what we do in our loving each other. And there's so many ways to love each other. Sometimes just to hear and listen is loving people. Just to touch them with an affectionate touch and let them know that you care and praying for people. I mean, all sorts of ways to love people. What I like about coming to Shepherd's Heart Church is just what Tanya said. I know I'm loved at this place. And I sense and feel the love that other people have for each other. And you cannot be in a more healing environment than a loving environment. You cannot have more pleasure in your life than the pleasure of loving and being loved. And so he says, be an example of that too, Tim. Be a lover of good people and show your love. And then he says, be an example in spirit. That's something that's a little bit deeper. Now, probably I won't even be able to articulate it. Because how can you talk about the spirit that's invisible? But the Bible says that if any man have not the spirit of Christ, what? He's none of his. See, we have a spirit inside of us. And the best way to identify the spirit of a person is with their attitude that comes out of them. Something about their persona just comes out of their life. It's their spirit. They're really sincere and they are true in their spirit. So he says, be an example in your spirit. Don't be phony. Just be yourself, be genuine, and let God use you. Let your spirit come out and welcome people. And then he said, in your faith. I've been challenged by the faith of other people and their example. I wish I had more faith and seeing their faith. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says you can actually see faith. Jesus saw these people tearing the top off a building as they let their sick friend down there who had palsy, a very, very great disease. And he saw them pulling the roof off. But the Bible says when he saw their faith, when he saw what they were doing, he knew it was faith, and they believed their friend would get healed. And guess what happened? He got healed because of the faith. So the example of faith and then purity. Just, you know, how many times have you thought just a bad thought, negative thought, immoral thought, untrue thought, and you let it linger in your mind? Don't do that. Be pure. Get it out. And all you have to do is say, God, cleanse me. I'm sorry for what I was thinking. I'm sorry for what I was about to say. I'm sorry for what I thought. Get with God and your spirit will be, your mind will be purified. And I want to tell you, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, because there's a tremendous result. Do you know what it is? Blessed are the pure in heart because they'll see God. How many of you would like to see him? Just get your heart purified. And the more you are able to purify your heart by confession and by asking God to help you and repenting when you need to, you'll be able to see God all around you. Now, the second thing I wanted to point out in this passage is there are some habits. If we want to use the gifts that God has given us, these three habits are habits that we need to cultivate in our life. Look at verse 13. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Here are three habits of life that you need to cultivate, and one of them is reading. Now, I know that some people don't enjoy reading, but make yourself read some. You know, I've read, I don't know, thousands of books, I guess. I don't know how many books I've read. I've got thousands of books, and I guess I've read a lot in life. But, you know, sometimes I have just the greatest thoughts that come to me, not by out of my own mind, but by something I read 20 years ago, something I read yesterday. And I guess I haven't had one original thought in all of my life. I guess it's all been given to me from other people. And reading allows you to have the wonderful experience of knowing the mind of someone that lived hundreds of years ago. Watchman Nee is somebody, when I get to heaven, I'm going to want to look that guy up. Because I read one book after another book that he wrote. He was a Chinese guy that did wonders. And I just love the things that he's written. And I would read every book I could get my hands on by Watchman Nee. He died in communist prison. They cut off both hands while he was there because trying to get him to deny Christ. And he stayed faithful. And the thing that I didn't realize is that when I first started reading some of his books, he was still alive. I think it was in 1972 or sometime around there that he actually died in Chinese prison, communist prison camp there. But his writings has done so much for me. And other people. So read a lot. Read what people have put down. Read what the Holy Scriptures have said. Have you ever just had a verse of Scripture come to you? Just seems like just when you needed it. But you had to have read that Scripture. You had to have spent some time earlier. And it got recorded all up there in your mind somewhere. When the Holy Spirit saw you needed it, He just reached in and just brought it right up so you could use it. Right at that very moment. It meant so much to you. He said, till I get there, Timothy, read. Keep attending at reading. And he said, and pay attention to exhortation. Now, what is that? Exhortation can be, they're spoken words of encouragement that is instructive, that's corrective, that's motivational. When your mother or dad, if they did it in a good way, exhorted you, what were they doing? They were encouraging you to do better. He says, pay attention to exhortation. Pay attention to preaching that you hear. And learn to encourage other people. And to let yourself be encouraged. Have you ever met somebody and you tried to cheer them up and they just would not be cheered up? They just refused to be. You could tell them how good their life was and they'd say, I don't care about that, you know. Or they just wouldn't let you. You could tell them that things were going to get better, and they just wouldn't let themselves be encouraged. You need to do something to let yourself be encouraged. You need to learn how to encourage your own self at times, because sometimes they just ain't nobody there to do it for you. But when other people are trying to encourage you, let them do it. When you hear God's word being spoken as an exhortation, let it sink into you. Let it say, well, yes, I believe that. I'm going to let that happen in my own life. Some people come in and just will not. You know that song we used to sing as Baptists? I shall not be, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. We were having a good revival in our services. And one of the deacons that was there, he said, I'm a concerned pastor about this thing that's going on in the church right now. I said, what? And he said, I said, the people getting saved? He said, well, no, that's okay there. People are getting saved. But he said, some of the people's lifting their hands up in the air and stuff like that. And he said, I don't know how everybody else, but he said, I'm not moved. I looked at him. I said, you know, brother, a bulldozer couldn't move you. I said, God is just doing some things in our church. But some people won't let it happen in their own lives. And so when he says, pay attention to exhortation, he said, let encouragement be encouraged by the sermons you hear. Be encouraged by what you read, by the exhortation that is meant to encourage you. And then if you don't have anybody to encourage you, then learn how to encourage yourself. David had to do that, didn't he? When Jonathan was not there to encourage him, David learned to encourage himself. Now, we're finishing here in the third part of the sermon outline. You need to recognize the supernatural aspect of the gift of the Holy Spirit that's in your life. See, we have a supernatural. I was witnessing to an atheist at the swimming pool where we were staying in the condo. And we were in the hot tub together and just started talking, had a real good discussion going. So I threw the bait out there, and he grabbed it, and we had a good spiritual discussion, but soon I found out he didn't believe in God. that he was indeed an atheist. And so I thought for a minute when he revealed that to me, I thought, you know, how can I continue this discussion, Lord? I don't know. What he said would just almost cut the discussion off. And then I realized the supernatural aspect of who was in me, and that I'd be able to say something that would not offend him, and that we could go ahead and discuss this. We stayed in that hot tub after that an hour, talking about my experiences with God and him talking about his experiences with no God and how he looked at life and these kind of things. But by the end of the discussion, he was not saved and he was not a believer. But I challenged him. I said, have you ever sought God in your life, really started seeking to find out if there was a God? I said, did you do that last week? And he said, no, I didn't do that last week. I said, did you do it last year? He said, no. He said, I don't guess I did it last year either. I said, have you ever really sought to find out if there was a God? And he said, I don't guess I have. And I said, you'll never find him until you seek for him. I said, the Bible says, and you will find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. And I said, the Bible further says that no man seeks God, but God seeks him. And I said, what's happened today in this hot tub is God has knocked on your door and just said, I want you to know me, and you can know me. And I said, he said, well, how can I do it then? I said, well, you don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. You don't believe he was a deity. So I said, why don't you start with what he wrote in the book? Would you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And he promised me that he would read every word of it and give God a chance to speak to him. And we shook hands when we got out of the hot tub. He said, I'm telling you, he said, I will read every word in those four first chapters, the Gospels. And so I'm praying that Blair from Georgia is reading through the book of John and reads about Nicodemus, who was a smart, intelligent man but did not know God. At the end of the next chapter, he'll read about a woman who was an immoral woman, who had had five husbands and was living with a man that was not her husband, and was so lonely and so stricken with grief that she had to go to the well by herself, and she found Jesus Christ. And I'm hoping that that'll soak into his mind. But the thought that helped me in that witness was that I have a supernatural God in my life, that I don't know what to say, but he'll give me something to say, and he did. So when you want to use your gift, you need to recognize, I have God inside of me, and I don't know what to say or what to do, but when he comes upon you and he helps you, he will give you words to say that they may not mean as much to you as they meant to the person that you speak them to. Because listen to what Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out and he told them to speak in his behalf. He says, don't worry what you'll say in Matthew 10:20, for it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So we need to meditate on these things. You know what happens when you meditate on something? It saturates your mind and your emotions and your will. You begin to do the thing that you meditate upon. And so he told Timothy, you've got a gift that's in you. Don't neglect it, but meditate upon it. And give yourself wholly to that your gift, and it will saturate your life. And you'll be using your gift without even knowing it. And we all do. Every time that we come to church on Sunday, the spiritual lights inside of people's eyes and the gift of God inside of them is showing forth friendliness and love and acceptance, and all kinds of things are taking place when we will meditate on what we have. And one way of meditating is just to think about something over and over again, every aspect of it you can think of. And then to let pictures form in your mind, images, visions of what you're thinking. One of the ways that God speaks to me the most is just to put video pictures in my mind of something that just shows me exactly what I need to do. Because the language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams and images and things you can see in your mind's eye. You know, a lot. I'm never lonely anymore, no matter where I am. There's a number of reasons. As I talk to God, if I am by myself, and I've been by myself in some places that I have been very lonely years and years ago, but I have no loneliness anymore because of the images, the smiling faces that God puts in my mind's eye when I think about my wife and my children, my grandchildren, my church family. And I spent several moments thinking about you on vacation, believe it or not, with all the, and I just think of how good it's going to be to get back home and to see and hear voices that I love. And God just can make you live that when the Holy Spirit, you're dwelling with the Holy Spirit. Listen, you have a great gift in you, every one of you sitting here. You have the seeds of greatness in you because God is in you. And he wants to work through your life. And here's what Paul told Timothy. He said, don't you neglect this gift that God's given you. But he said, meditate on it. Think about it a lot. Give yourself wholly to it. And in so doing, listen to this. He said, in so doing, you will save yourself and others. You know, have you ever saved anybody's life? When you get to heaven, would it not be something grand for someone to come and throw their arms around you and say, man, God used you to save my life, to turn me around. For you to save your own self by not letting yourself go down the wrong road so that you wind up in a heap of destruction because you wouldn't change. When you could have let God use the gift that he put in your life to help others. And he said, bring profit to all. In other words, when we use our gifts, and I'm believing and I'm sensing it and feeling it, that our church is going to more and more experience the gifts of God in our own lives until there's an abundance of everything that's good, everything that's needed in life flowing out of and through the people all around us, and God's going to bless your life in wonderful ways. Let God use you, would you? Let's bow our heads here together in prayer. And this message was to a young pastor by the old Apostle Paul. He loved this young guy. And he wanted Timothy to make the most of his life. Because he had been there when Timothy had felt the call of God upon his life. And very early in Timothy's life, the Bible says, even when he was a child, he had been taught the Holy Scriptures by his mother, who had shown him the way of salvation. I want to challenge you as a mother, grandmother, father and grandfather, talk to your kids a lot about God. Show them the way of salvation. Be an example to them. And let God use you to save them and save yourself. But if you're here without Jesus Christ, you might be saying, you know, James, I felt something today, and I guess what I felt was that I don't think that God is in me. Because God, though he created you, he comes into your life when you humble yourself and turn to God in repentance and faith and ask him to save you. And you can do that in these next few moments. And I want to ask you, would you just let Jesus Christ come in? The Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. And Jesus said, if any man will open the door, then I will come in. And I will have fellowship with him and he with me. God literally comes into your spirit, the deepest part of you, and begins to change our lives when we let him come in. So will you do this in this prayer? Let it come from your own heart, because the Bible says it's with the heart that a man believes unto righteousness. Just say, oh God, I repent of my sins. I know I haven't done right in my life. I know I've gone my own way. And all of us have, because the Bible says that we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us, we turn to our own way. It's just the way that we are. But we have to turn away from that self-centered life and put our faith in Jesus. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness that we do that saves us, but it's by His mercy, His love, that He's willing to save us by putting our faith in Him. So would you say, I believe in Jesus today, and I'm going to make Him the Lord of my life, the boss of my life, and as well as I know how, I'm going to do what He says. That's how you get saved. So would you pray this prayer? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Just pray that, but mean it from your heart. Today I ask Jesus to come in and save me. Today I make Jesus the Lord of my life. If you're praying this prayer today and you mean it from your heart, would you lift your hand up in the air and hold it up for just a moment? Is anybody praying that prayer today? Maybe everybody has. Are you praying? God bless you. Did you pray that prayer this today? Praise the Lord. Tell your mom about this, okay? After church is over. Anybody else praying this prayer? This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice, be glad in it. He's done wondrous things in our life. May He bless you more and more. Brother Jonathan, will you offer our closing prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your words here today, Lord. We ask that You just put them on our hearts, Lord, and that when we walk through these doors today, Lord, that we carry them with us. We be an example for Christ, Lord, that we go and spread Your word, Lord. We go out into the world and we make disciples, Lord. Don't let it stop when we walk through those doors, Lord, but continue. We pray for those that are sick, need healing, Lord, and we ask that You just help us become more like Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.